Heavenly Father, as we continue to look at Paul's letter to the Romans, help us to understand how this can apply to us now, to show us how we interact with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old saying, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Now, I've got two older brothers, Peter, who's 6.5 years older than me, and John, who's 4.5 years older. While that age difference is insignificant now that we're older, when we were boys, it could be quite significant. And as a lot of us who have siblings probably had disagreements with them as we grew up, you'll understand that sometimes these disagreements resulted in violence to get the point across. Now, this used to be amusing when it involved Peter and John, because they were fairly evenly matched. But when it was me involved in the disagreement with one of my brothers, usually John, it was a real matter of the weak versus the strong. Or at least until I was about 14. And then in one of these discussions, I picked John up and threw him into the wall. And after that, we decided we should settle our disagreements less violently. Now, I guess sometimes our church family will have differences of opinion between family members, although I would hope that they don't come to violence. But on saying that, we have seen through the years some of these differences of opinion have resulted in violent actions within the church. In a church family, there can be lots of things that cause difference of opinion. From the type of music used, how often do we have communion, to issues of baptism. Here in this section of Romans, Paul explores the way Christians are to interact with each other, how those who are weaker in their faith and those who are much more sure and strong in their faith are able to relate in a way that is shaped by the gospel. Now, we're going to look at that today in 3 points: the weak, the strong, and working together. The weak, the strong, working together. In verse 1, Paul says, accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarrelling over disputable matters. Accept and don't dismiss the Christian in church who is perhaps younger in their faith, who is still working out what being saved by grace alone means. Accept them. Don't argue over things that are clearly not addressed, that we can find no definite answer for. What are these disputable matters that Paul's talking about? These are called matters of conscience, that are practices that God has not specifically spoken of in his word. He hasn't forbidden them, and he's clearly not commanded them. Now, it can be easy to move between two possible extremes considering these. And Paul uses two examples here, which must have been particular to the church in Rome. Eating of meat. Now, this could have been due to trying to stick to the Jewish dietary laws, or in the case of the Gentiles, meat that's been offered to idols. And the other is holding one day more sacred than others. And once again, this could be the Jewish Christians being used to celebrating the Sabbath and finding it hard to change the traditions surrounding it. Paul's writing this letter to a young church, one where there are two distinct groups. The Jews, who have up until Jesus followed God through the teaching and laws of the Old Testament and are probably still trying to come to grips with changes. And the Gentiles, who would have been worshipping idols prior to hearing about Jesus. There are probably a lot of conflicting ideas going on here. So let's have a look at our first point, the weak. Who is Paul calling weak here? In verse 2 he says, one person's faith, the Gentile, allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak, the Jew, eats only vegetables. Now, Paul's not having a shot at vegetarians here. In the church here in Rome, there are a mixture of Jew and Gentile. Some of the Jews are probably finding it difficult to move away from those Old Testament food laws where certain meats can't be used and the food has to be prepared in certain ways. The Jews felt they had to abstain from certain foods and eat veggies. The Gentiles, on the other hand, aren't tied to these food laws and generally will choose to eat what they like. While these things are specific to the church in Rome, it's more about people in church having differing views and opinions. The Australian New Testament scholar Leon Morris says this, referring to the weak. As the discussion shows, he does not mean a person who trusts Christ but little, the man of feeble faith. Rather, the person he has in mind is one who does not understand the conduct implied by faith. He does not understand that when the meaning of justification by faith is grasped, questions like the use of meat and wine and special days become irrelevant. Paul isn't saying weak Christians aren't saved or they don't trust God. They can be the most eager and willing to please God. They just haven't worked out the full implications of the gospel. If you're saved by grace alone, you can't keep God's favour by sticking to rules and regulations, like the Jews are trying to do by keeping the food laws. Here in Romans, it would seem that it's more the Jews that are having this problem. But if we were to go over to 1 Corinthians 8, 7 to 8, it says, but not everyone possessed this knowledge. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat sacrificial food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to a god. And since their conscience is weak, it's defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. So, in this case, we can see it's the Gentiles who are having trouble with the food, because they haven't quite got the gospel implications of grace. Their view of eating the meat that's been offered to idols is not okay. It would seem there are still issues here in the early church of Rome, traditions and laws that are still hanging over from the Old Testament, and idol worshipping from the past for the Gentiles who are worshipping idols. So what are the weak not getting? Well, there's four things. What's Paul's word to the weak? Firstly, we are all justified by faith alone. We've all been accepted by God because of his grace, not our behaviour. We've been accepted by God, and we should accept one another. Secondly, only God can judge. In verse 10, you then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. Thirdly, they need to think of their own position. They might be wrong. We need to be in the Bible to see what God says. Does it forbid it? Does it command it? Does it say nothing at all about it? Fourth, being able to act according to our conscience. We have to be able to look at any of these disputable matters that come up and ask, what does God say about this? And what might we might find there is no definite answer. No definite yes, no definite no. A Christian shouldn't engage in a specific practice unless they've thought it out and are convinced they are being obedient, not disobedient. In verse 6, whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord. For they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. Paul is letting us know that as long as we do these things for the Lord in thanks, we're okay. And that brings us to point two, the strong. Now, Paul refers to a strong Christian as someone who eats everything. And that would appear to be the Gentiles here. Now, I'm a little bit worried about that. I'll eat just about anything, but I'm not too fond of peas. My mother used to cook the things until they were khaki in colour and tasted terrible, and we weren't allowed to leave the table until we'd eaten everything. I learnt to hate peas. Thankfully, Paul is only using food as an example. These strong Christians seem to be the Gentiles. Those Gentiles who have believed in the gospel, and in this context, it would mean they're free to eat anything because of their freedom in Christ. A strong Christian is someone who knows they're saved by the gospel, and the Gentiles seem to have got the idea of grace. They are confident on how this should shape their lives, where the Jews are still struggling with it. The Gentiles know there are areas where they're free, such as free to eat meat, even meat that's been offered in a pagan sacrifice. In the beginning of verse 14, Paul says, I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. Paul's saying nothing's unclean, but in the mind of some, it is, because the laws say they shouldn't eat it, or it's been offered to a pagan god. The strong Christian is one who, having their mind renewed by the Holy Spirit, is able to test and approve what God's will is. Now, this doesn't mean that the strong determine God's will in all things, but rather it helps us to make decisions on those things which the Bible doesn't give us definite answers for. No positive or negative answer. The strong can use the renewing of their mind to determine what their conscience says about these things. And this goes back to what Mitch was saying a couple of weeks ago. There are trivial matters, and then there are matters determined by the gospel. And then there are matters of wisdom in which our conscience must decide. But the strong have to be careful with this process. If they decide that it's right to do something that a weaker brother or sister thinks is wrong, this may lead them to doubt. Even though they've decided it doesn't matter what meat they eat or if they have a beer or a wine with it, a weaker believer may think this is wrong. Or they may think, well, this is okay, and do the same. And this may lead them to do things that for them, they still feel they really shouldn't be doing. In verse 23, but whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Or it may lead them to do something their conscience tells them is wrong. And this can lead them to doubt their faith. Verse 15. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. And this can reflect back to that part of chapter 12, verse 1. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, living sacrificially, to show some restraint in what we do, and with love, show them why we're doing what we're doing, and working through it with them, not to judge them. Be willing to give up our rights to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it must be remembered what's important here. Verse 21. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. Weak and strong have both been saved by Jesus' death and resurrection. They have both been bought by God through Jesus' sacrifice. It's not good to have the needs of the weak pushed aside by the freedoms of the strong. The strong need to help the weak, but not by judging them, but by love. And it can be sometimes the way of the strong to push aside or ignore the weak. Paul wants the strong to stay with the weak, to support and help them grow in their relationship with God. And that's going to bring us to our last point, working together. Now, one of the images that came to me when I was thinking about this was those wounded men coming back down the Kokoda track. Those images of the slightly less wounded helping the more wounded, or the strong, fuzzy-wuzzy angels carrying the stretchers. These people were all working towards one goal. They were all working to one common purpose, to get to safety and medical attention for either themselves, the person they were helping, or both of them. How much easier would it have been for the less wounded to just leave the worse off and find their own way to help? Or for the Papua New Guinean to not bother at all? No. These guys had purpose. The strong help the weak. And this is how we need to operate as God's people, as his church. We need to be working together to help each other grow. And this sometimes can be hard for us, can't it? We're so used to acting as individuals, seeking what's good for us, sometimes at the expense of others. And it can be very foreign for us sometimes to put others before us, especially when we don't agree with some of their ideas. And it goes against our very individualistic Aussie culture. But to do this is part of that living sacrifice that Paul talks about in the beginning of chapter 12, to live sacrificially. In areas of the Bible where God's will is indisputable and clear, there should be no issues and we all should be on the same page. But in disputable areas where God's will is not black and white, there will definitely be cause for difference of opinion. What Paul is asking of the church in Rome is that these differences don't distract them from the fact that they're all saved in Jesus, and not to let these differences detract from that. Paul says, don't put a stumbling block in the way of a brother or sister, that we don't do things that will cause a brother or sister to doubt their faith. And also, we should be prepared to reassess our stance at any time, our treatment of others we differ from. This doesn't mean we will change our minds, just that we will relook at the issue again. Am I being loving? Am I being more black and white than God is? Am I being judgmental or contemptuous? As a church family, we have a number of ways of doing this through our talks on Sundays, opening these further up in small groups, being in God's word and prayer. So how do we apply what Paul is writing to this young church in Rome to us? Are you someone who's strong in their faith? Are there things that you do that really aren't loving to other Christians because they're struggling to be okay with it? And what do you think they might be here at DPC? What about wealth? What impact does what you spend your money on have on those who have much less? How about missing church? Since COVID lockdowns last year, people have been at church less regular. Now, you might be strong enough to cope with this, but others see their congregations getting smaller. And if you can take weekends off, so can they. And what about what you drink? How might that affect someone who doesn't drink or who might have had an issue with it? Being loving and gracious to those who are still figuring out the implications of the gospel and their freedoms in Christ means that living sacrificially, being willing to give up your rights and freedoms for the good of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Or are you someone who's new to following Jesus, who is still figuring out how to live with your faith and what it means to be saved by grace alone and not by what you do? Maybe you struggle with slipping back into unhelpful patterns of life and behaviour that makes it really hard to follow Jesus. And so you abstain from these things because you know they're not helpful to you. If that's you, there's two things you can do. First, be careful not to judge those who are stronger in their faith and are able to do things that you find unhelpful. Second, communicate with stronger Christians. Let them know if you're struggling with something and if something they're doing isn't helpful for you. The call for the stronger Christian is to love you and care for you by giving up their right to do what is unhelpful, so you might be built up and encouraged. And if we don't do these things, it can lead to divisions within our church, which is something we definitely don't want to see. As Paul says in verse 14, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification, following Jesus together despite our differences. The way we exist together should be shaped by the gospel as we keep God's mercy in view and are transformed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will help us to make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Father, we are all saved by grace through Jesus, not by what we do and don't do. Help us to continue to build one another up for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'd like